Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 20th, 2023. You have your host, James Jay, here, and we are joined right now by a couple of our great friends from the Wood County Health Department. Let's welcome in Ashley Normington. Ashley, good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. And Mackenzie. No, I'm joking. That's an inside joke for everybody. Elise, thanks for being here. I did it again, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
I did it again. Please say your name.
Alyssa Gallen.
Alyssa. Why am I doing that? Alyssa Gallen, thank you very much for joining us. In my defense, this is the first time we've met.
Yes.
In your defense and the audience's, I would have messed it up even if we like knew each other like three times already. I am bad with names.
That's okay. It happens to me all the time.
I'll get it eventually, especially the more we talk. And we're going to be talking more because you are going to be taking over a program. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, Ashley, if you don't mind, let's talk about what you guys are joining us here for today. The Wisconsin WINS program, the PATCH program. Wisconsin WINS and the PATCH program. For those that don't know, what are these programs?
Yeah, I'll start with the Wisconsin WINS program. Mm-hmm. That is our statewide tobacco compliance check program. So there's more to the program than just compliance checks, but it really focuses on keeping nicotine and tobacco products out of the hands of youth. Mm. And that's the biggest thing that we're focused on with our tobacco and nicotine efforts. And I'm actually going to let Alyssa talk about the PATCH program a little more because that is her expertise.
Yeah, Alyssa.
Yeah, so the PATCH program, the PATCH stands for Providers and Teens Communicating for Health. And this year we have 8 community teens that are trained as teen educators, and they put on workshops in local schools and other provider type situations, and they are trained by me and they are ready to go, and we are looking for places to put on these workshops.
How are the, in your time doing this, how are the kids responding to this program?
They really enjoy it. They are being heard. They feel like I'm listening and the providers are listening to them and they have a voice, which they have been needing.
I remember, because I don't have a lot of retail experience, but some years back, I worked at a gas station for a couple of years. It was like 5 or 7 years ago, somewhere around there. And one of the things they early on had me learn was how important it is to check IDs. And certainly for people that I wasn't sure of, but even if I felt like I was 100% sure that it may be even more so to check that person, because it's the ones that you think you know that tend to kind of skate by sometimes. And sure enough, it wasn't a month or so into the job, I have somebody come in. It seemed fishy to me. Didn't like it. So I challenged them on their ID and their age, and they weren't able to purchase anything. And then 5-10 minutes later, I had somebody come in and give me a card telling me I did a good job. And I can tell you the pride I felt in that. But I didn't know that was what's going on, that was happening. And this is part of that was a part of this program, but it was one of those things that really stood out to me about the work that's being done on this front and how important it is. Now, that was, like I said, 7-8 years ago or whatever. In that short amount of time, the game has changed quite a bit. For one, I would think on a positive side, regardless of how you feel about the topic, what we're talking about here, I think a positive. As a former smoker, I will say, I think a positive. We have seen so many cigarettes that aren't even for sale anymore. They're just gone. They're done. Which in my lifetime, I never thought I was going to see that day. So that's a positive, I think. On the other side of it, you have vaping. You have a lot more. I don't want to say options, but a lot more temptations for kids out there. In fact, it may even be in some scenarios worse than it was before, where now you had your Marlboros and Camels and those things. Now you've got fruity flavors and these things, and so much of it that whether they're saying it or not, I'll say it, they're marketing towards younger people. So with that challenge there, with all of that going on, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges when it comes to this subject and facing it? If you don't mind, I'll start with you, Ashley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can say your name. No, I'm joking.
That's always a positive thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the game has definitely changed over the years. So we've definitely seen those smoking rates come down. We know that youth are more likely to start using substances in adolescence. So typically between the ages of 13 and 17, even, into young adulthood, into their early 20 years, they're more likely to try substances. And unfortunately, that's the time in their life when their brain is more likely to become addicted to that substance and become dependent on those substances. So we have worked really hard over the years to get like Wisconsin Smoke-Free Air passed, for example. And that actually is a huge benefit to make sure people aren't, you know, around people who are smoking all the time. You're not seeing it. It's not in your face as much. So that was one positive thing that came in more recent years. Another big thing was with, as you mentioned, with vaping. We saw the trends going down with smoking conventional cigarettes for years and years, and all of a sudden vaping comes along, and now we have a vaping epidemic with youth who are doing it at school. Teachers don't even know they're doing it. They have hidden vapes and concealed vapes that, you know, you could have a concealed vape in your sweatshirt or on your backpack or on your watch that you can just be vaping in class or in the bathroom and no one knows any different because it smells fruity or it smells like a candy and it's just really hard to detect. So that's really thrown a curve in our response as well. So things have had to change over the years.
How have you guys adapted to that?
Yeah, so it's been a lot of just getting information out there about the harms of vaping, because even with a lot of parents, their assumption was, well, it's just water vapor. And we know that's not the case. We don't know all of the long-term effects because it's so new, but what we do know is that there are a lot of harms that come from this. And just from people who I have interacted with that have that personal lived experience, who have gone from smoking to switching to vaping, and now they're trying to quit vaping, I'm just hearing, like, it's really hard to quit vaping because with vaping, it's like you can do it whenever you want. You don't have to finish a whole cigarette. It's just a few puffs here and there. And those nicotine salts act so differently. They're much smoother. They're not as harsh on your throat as your commercial tobacco cigarettes. So it's just a whole new ballgame with this. And we've just had to take a little bit different approach to make sure that, especially with this Wisconsin Wins program, that we're reminding retailers their part in this community effort. You know, they play a vital role in keeping these products out of the wrong hands. We try to provide free trainings for them and free resources to give them more confidence when they are checking those IDs and refusing a sale to a minor.
I think one of the encouraging things that I think has happened in society when it comes to this subject, from when I was a kid to now, especially back then, a retailer, their responsibility ended with the, I mean, really just having the product in their store, who they sold it to or whatever. They were able to kind of just a lot of the time take a hands-off approach. I can't help it. My job is just to sell this. I'm just a middleman, that kind of thing. That those days are gone. You don't have that excuse anymore. The information, not only is the information out there, but there are laws, there is accountability you have now, and that's certainly a positive. When it comes to this, though, it's an interesting topic, and I'm really glad you touched on some of the science behind this, because I think that's one of the things that has been beneficial when it comes to vaping for people to either stop or to be more at least aware of the topic and how dangerous it can be, how easy it is for people to fall into. Growing up, I grew up around addiction. My father was an addict for the majority of my life. Last 20-some years, been clean and sober and doing great. But with that experience, I've grown up around a lot of addicts, and I still talk with many of them. And one of my friends, I'm so proud of, was able to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. Part of how he stopped was falling into cigarettes, which isn't a good thing. Trading one for another is certainly not a good thing. But he thought, well, this is going to improve. This is going to help. You know, I won't be doing this anymore. I'll be doing this. And I'll stop this eventually. And so he does. I want to say 2 years he smoked cigarettes. And then he stopped. And I was talking to him about it. And now he's vaping, because he went from nicotine to vaping, thinking that would be better for him. And now he's struggling with, this is so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes back to when one of the things that I heard from people that made it hard to quit nicotine was the accessibility, that you go outside and it's so accessible. It's somewhere, anywhere. Vaping, it seems like two times that as far as the accessibility part. So when it comes to the retailer's responsibility on this, do you think going forward there could be more put on them or not? And this is just an opinion. I'm not asking to say, you know, what you guys necessarily think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But do you think that it could happen, that there could be even more put on retailers as far as their responsibility when it comes to selling these products?
It very well could. We just want to make sure that retailers understand we're here as a resource for them. We want to make sure that they are being successful in following the state and federal laws, because our state law actually does not match the federal law for tobacco. Mm. So in the end of 2019, when President Trump was in office, he passed the federal Tobacco 21 law. And that actually supersedes state laws. So all states had to then follow the Tobacco 21 law. That got really confusing because our state still has not updated our tobacco law to be 21 and older. It just gets super confusing because we have retailers saying, well, our state law still says 18, so I'm going to sell to people 18 and older. And so that's where we have to come in and say, well, we can still get a citation if you choose to sell to an individual who is under the age of 21. So that also made it very confusing. We're trying really hard not to take a punitive approach. We don't necessarily want to threaten people with citations, but it is a real possibility. So we actually do have very strong partnerships with our local law enforcement agencies, and they've been great at just, you know, turning to us as the experts when it comes to knowing like when retailers have sold in the past, if they've sent their employees through trainings, like what have we been experiencing with this particular retailer. And we also look to them to say, hey, have you heard of any retailers who may be selling products to youth, because we can check them. So it's been a really positive partnership with our law enforcement agencies, and they've been good to work with.
Do you think that when it comes to that part of it, working with law enforcement and that, do you think it's been, because it seems like to me the program has been benefited by not so much coming in to punish people, but to assist, to be a partner in it more. And if accountability needs to be had, you as you mentioned there are citations, there are things that law can do, but the programs themselves want to be a helper, want to be an asset more than a punisher. It comes across as. Is that the case that you two have seen?
Yeah, the more that we meet with law enforcement and talk to them more about it, the more they seem very much on board with this as well. So they really appreciate getting the information from our perspective as well. So it's been great to work with them on that.
Alyssa, did I say Alyssa? I said Alyssa. Alyssa, again. Dang it. I thought, and I was so confident I said it right that time. I apologize. What are your hopes for the future of this program as you're taking over?
My hope is that we can do these compliance checks with the retailers and they all just pass the first time. I think that that would be a really great goal. I know we're not that far off from that. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
Alyssa's been doing great, actually, with doing a lot of our outreach activities, which is also a part of the Wisconsin Wins program. So we are required to do a certain number of public outreaches as well as media outreach, which this is a great opportunity to do a media outreach for the program, just to make sure the public knows about the program and the great things that we're doing. So Alyssa's been doing great, reaching out to retailers through letters, sending them signage so that they know it has to be 21 or older to sell these products. And not just, you know, your tobacco products. Not all smoke shops and vape shops have to have a tobacco license. So if they're selling vapes and nicotine products only, they actually don't have to have that tobacco license, but we can still check them through this program to make sure they are in compliance and selling to only 21 and older.
Alyssa, is there something coming into the job that you didn't know that you were surprised by, or something that has been, you think is very noteworthy that maybe the audience doesn't know as well?
I think coming into this, for me, I completely forgot about the Tobacco 21. I was like, oh yeah, it is 21 now. And I think that maybe there's others out there that are like me too, because it's not something that's talked about all the time. So I think that was one of the things I was like, oh yeah, totally forgot about that.
Appreciate that, and appreciate the time and putting up with me. Thank you very much for that last part. I want to talk about the patch program. I want to get into this a little bit too. And first off, Ashley, if you wouldn't mind, what is the patch program?
Yeah, so as Alyssa mentioned, Providers and Teens Communicating for Health, it's really to empower teens in our local school districts to feel like they are in charge of their own healthcare rights. They are aware of them and they're sharing that information, because even our local providers don't always know that teens have healthcare rights. Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing that Alyssa's been doing great on, making sure the teens that we're working with as our teen educators are really well trained mm-hmm. and well versed, and sharing that information with others.
Yeah, Alyssa, I'm curious. When it comes to when you were young, how familiar were you with some of these things, with the, your teen health laws and that, and understanding your own what you had power of or and what you didn't?
Yeah, I came into this not knowing that teens had rights. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I remember going to appointments and to see a doctor and being asked, "Where's your parent?" You need to have your parent with you for everything. So knowing that they're encouraged to have time alone with a provider to talk about things that they might not want to talk about with their parent in the room. And I think that's important, because that's how you get the best healthcare you can get.
Yeah. When as long ago as it may seem for some of us, I'm just speaking for myself, we were all teenagers. We were all in this spot. And thankfully, we're in a day and age now where we are putting so much more control and power and all that to the places it needs to be where it wasn't before. And so many of the voiceless now have a voice. And there's a lot of great that comes with that. There's also a lot to take in. And when you're young and you're already, your main job is to learn, basically, as a young person, whether it's in school or just your day-to-day life. Here's one more thing for you to learn. Have you found that kids are getting this, that it's registering for them, it's clicking this information and understanding this going forward for them?
I think so. They're excited about it. They're excited about having their voices be heard by their providers and who they put their trust into. They wanted to be heard. They want to be seen.
When it comes to mental health, I feel like we did a really good job with this coming out of the pandemic, opening up, talking about this. We're not talking in hushed voices anymore. We're not letting the mental health issue be something that we're afraid to talk about or anything. We're getting much better as a society bringing this up and talking about it in a raised voice. But I do think that the work now begins on the personal mental health battle and journey. We've accepted it as a society. Now we got to accept it ourselves, because I just speaking for myself, I am a professional at telling other people, you should drink more water. You should take a nap more. James, what are you doing? I don't want to talk about that. That's not important to the subject. I got to take my own medicine. I got to get better at doing that myself. With that being said, how does this program, you think, benefit the youth going forward when it comes to their mental health and talking about it, being able to express those feelings?
Yeah, they are very passionate about mental health. I've noticed just from talking about them, they want to be open about it. They want it to not be such a stigma anymore. They want to get the help. They want everyone to get the help that they want and they need, and it's important, and they know that it's important.
Do you think the kids in youth understanding, feeling more comfortable with these things is only going to benefit adults and parents with it? I could see that the one bleeding into the other. I could see that if I'm as a parent, and I'm thinking my kids are in their 20s, but I think about even when they come to me with stuff now, sometimes I feel more comfortable getting into a subject matter that they encourage. Can we see more of that conversation happening, you think, with young and old, with parent and child?
Absolutely, I think so. I think when you're more open with your parents, you can get the help that you need. And even with my own kids, they have an issue, I want to talk about it. I want to be there for them. I want to get them the best help that they can get. And having that conversation is really important. And I think a lot of more teens are realizing how important that is.
Yeah, I don't think you hear a lot of parents say, I don't want to know. you want to know
sometimes.
These things. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There are certain subjects, absolutely. But it's such a great point you make there, because I think that while we feel like sometimes as parents, we know our kids and we know what they're up to or any of that. Again, we were all teenagers and we know that we got away with stuff that our parents still don't know about maybe. It's important to have that open dialogue, have that conversation. And I've never heard a parent say, well, when my kid becomes an adult, my job's done, or I don't want them to be able to come to me. In some scenarios, you're needed even more as a parent sometimes when they become an adult and as they get older. some of this conversation that can be had, it can only benefit that future selves in that. Another part of this that stood out to me when I was reading about the program the other night that I thought was really encouraging is young people getting more and more familiar as they get older with their own body, their own mental health, the laws that they are that they have in place for them, all the above. We back in the day, we used to learn how to do a checkbook in like grade school or junior high, and then we stopped needing that. But it was important because, well, one day you're going to be an adult and you're going to have to fill out a checkbook. This kind of stuff speaks to me like that. It speaks to me in the way of like, well, the more they understand about the things that they have in their control, the better they're going to feel as adults when they're looking into insurance or any of these things. It seems to have another added benefit as well to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will just say as an adult now, we didn't talk about a lot of the mental health growing up. So as you were talking about, you know, the checkbook reference, that may not be as big of a thing today necessarily, but growing up and not talking about mental health, not understanding what that means, and that everyone has their own mental health, whether it be a severe issue that can be diagnosable or just not feeling great. It's okay not to feel great. Mm-hmm. And having your child even model that they are being open and talking about this, that can be a huge relief for a parent, especially, you know, we live in a very rural, conservative area. Central mm-hmm. Wisconsin tends to be more conservative, mm-hmm. and people don't want to talk about mental health.
Yeah,
that's part of the stigma. But at the same time, seeing other people be more open and saying, yeah, I just am not doing well right now, it kind of opens that door for other people to say, you know what? I should probably take a look at myself and realize I'm not doing well either. Mm-hmm. And understanding there are things we can do in some instances to improve our mental health and well-being mm-hmm. and take care of ourselves. We talk a lot about self-care. So that's something that we really want to make sure our Patch teens know about as well. And they're sharing with their peers and other adults that they're working with so that other students in our local schools feel empowered to do the same.
Kids are their brains are sponges, and they're soaking up all this. They're taking all this in. So even before they are teens, when it comes to this subject, it's really important how you carry yourselves as adults. It's very important how you're touching on the subject when you're talking with friends. I bring this up mainly when it comes to domestic violence, that those jokes that you and your boys make, there's kids hearing those. Those jokes, you may think that it's just between you and your buddies, but there's other people that hear that stuff and they think that's okay. It's so important going forward, we stop that stuff. Or we call each other as guys, we call each other out on those things. This subject is not that different. If you are a smoker, I'm not trying to make you feel bad about being a smoker. That's your business, it's your body. But it doesn't end with you. It is important that when we're touching on that subject to other adults and everything, whether there's a kid around or not, it doesn't matter. There's a kid around, you may not realize it. That's kids. That's how they are. You think there's nobody in the room, and 2 seconds later, they're right there. It's important how you carry yourself in these conversations going forward, because they're, again, sponges, and they're picking up on this stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to police anyone necessarily. Like you said, they're adults. They can make decisions about their own bodies. But really, instead of calling people out about this, let's call them in. Say, hey, is there anything we can do to help you? You know, like, do you want to talk about this? Can I support you in any way? So I think that's a big part as well with both of the programs, not only for tobacco use or nicotine use, but also for the Patch program.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything we didn't get a chance to touch on you guys wanted to make sure we covered? Did we get it all? We did it?
I think we could. All right.
All right. Yeah. So we can spend the next half an hour me just practicing your name and making sure yeah. I get it right. Because the next time we have Rebecca on with us, I'm joking. Ashley, Alyssa, thank you very much for joining us today. Really do appreciate the time and very much appreciate you guys and your team over there at the health department, everything you're doing for our community. Keep up the great work. Stay safe out there. And looking forward to talking again real soon.
Thank you for inviting us, James.
If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about what we've touched on today, how can they reach each of you?
Yeah, they should call the main line at the health department. The number is 715-421-8911. If they want to be a part of any community efforts, our office staff there can direct them to the right person.
And your contact?
It's the same. It's same. In the same yeah. office. So cool. If anyone needs to contact me, contact the health department.
Makes it easy. Makes yep. it easy. Just get the A name right. That's yeah. all. Just get that right. I'll be working on that in the break. But thank you both very much again for the time. You can find out more at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.